Does anybody in here know what catfishing is? You ever heard of that? Not fishing. Not fishing for catfish. No. There is this thing, and it rose in the dawn of the internet. It's when, say, a person, man or woman, doesn't matter, will use fake pictures, right? In the world of online dating, they will use fake pictures and present themselves as one way, right? And a lot of times it's you know, for scamming purposes. Like, oh my word, you're so beautiful, let me send you $300. The person's like, oh, thank you. And they look nothing like the picture. Sometimes they are not even the same gender. They just need the money, right? Or sometimes, and this is actually kind of sad, sometimes it's rooted in deep insecurity where the actual person doesn't feel presentable enough, but they see a picture of somebody else that they perceive as beautiful and wanted, and they live vicariously through these pictures and all of that, and it just gets carried away. There's actually a whole show about it. It's on MTV, I think. And it's like seasons upon seasons of people being fooled. And you start to think, like, why does this keep happening? Right? You think that after so many times of it happening, people would get wise to it. But the thing is, every time, almost without fail, it is that the person that, let's say I'm the one who thinks I'm in a relationship with somebody else. Also, and maybe that's a bad illustration because today's actually my anniversary. I love you. But let's say that I'm the one who thinks I'm in this relationship, right? And almost without fail, almost every single time, they track the person down and they meet and it's not the person and there's disappointment because you were expecting one thing, and you got something else. When I went to Andrews, and I worked in the dorm, we would bring all of the men, because we called it a men's residence hall, not a boys' dorm, but we'd bring all the men in, and we'd sit them down, and we would go through this thing called the AU Code of Conduct with them all, right? And one of the clauses in there, however you want to say it, was that no matter where you are, who you're with, if you're even out of the country, you represent Andrews University, right? And inevitably, every single year, we'd get one young man who would raise his hand and say, well, I do not think that that's fair. Because if I'm on a trip, you know, it's my life. I can do what I want with it, right? And you and me, maybe we would think, you know, that is a little fair, actually, because if you're all the way in Singapore somewhere, why do your actions represent Andrews? Well, I'll tell you what. This was the answer we would give people, and at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, it is true. If 100 Andrews University students went to another country, and let's say just for whatever reason just started, like, slashing people's tires, you know what the news would say in that country? 100 Andrews University students slashing tires all over the country. Maybe it's not fair, but that's how it is. We represent, right? And so people in, we'll just say this country, people in this country will now have a negative connotation to Andrews University, even though they have never, ever been, right? The same is true of this church and even of your family and things like that. Why? Because people will now have in their mind, right? They're expecting Andrews University. Oh, it's a Christian university. They must be nice people. But now, because of the actions of a few, what they expected was not what they got. People have a bad taste in their mouth. Do you agree? And we'll read the verse again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 16, it says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation into the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation into the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. We talked last week about having our foundation, right, in God, in Jesus alone, right? We talked about the Israelites. They had this thing called the Shema prayer, and in it, it would say there is one God, right? And you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Communion is cool because we participate, right? It is a reminder that Christ on the cross reconciled the whole world unto himself, right? He looked at his disciples and he said, hey, he took the bread, he broke it, he said, this is my body. Take it and eat, and you participate. They participated with him in that. And then he turned and said, hey, this juice, this is my blood. Take it and drink. And they participated in that with him. And now we get to do the same thing. And you know what's cool? We're not the only church that does this, right? High Springs up the street, they'll do it too. We don't all do it on the same day, right? But High Springs SDA, they'll do it. The Spanish SDA church, they'll do it too. All of the Adventist churches in Orlando will do it too. In fact, if you go to look at the church as larger than just Adventism and you say, well, we all represent Christ on some level, even the Baptists, even the Pentecostals, or if we look at the church more generally, a lot of people do this. What's awesome about this is it's on this day that we eat the bread, that we drink the juice, that we participate together with the whole body. There's one bread, there's one body. That's what the verse says, right? It's interesting because this verse in context is talking about how do we flee from idolatry, right? And it almost feels like this has nothing to do, right? This, the emblems that we have here, the tradition that we do, has nothing to do with fleeing from idolatry, but it does. Let's take a look at why. The way against idolatry, like we talked about last week, among other things, is to come back to the foundation. Who are we? We are one body. Communion, yes, it is a reminder for believers, right? It is a reminder for believers that Jesus Christ has reconciled the whole world unto himself, right? But I have a question for you, right? As is already alluded to in the introduction of this sermon, have you ever expected one thing and gotten something completely different, right? I like, maybe this isn't the health message, but I like a soda from time to time, right? A caffeine-free Coca-Cola, right?
Sprite.
Or a Sprite, sure. You like, we'll use Sprite. That's kosher, right? So a Sprite. I like Sprite. I also like grape juice. Here's the thing. If you were to blindfold me and hype me up and say, Ben, this is the best Sprite you have ever tasted in your life, and I'm now imagining it, and my mouth is beginning to water because it's hot out, and I'm waiting for that Sprite, and you give me a glass, and I can feel that it's cold, and I'm ready, and I put it to my lips, and it's grape juice, I will have a visceral reaction to it because I was expecting one thing and got something else. Now, those are both nice tasting things, but what happens if you hype me up, Ben, I'm going to give you this Sprite, it's a hot day, I can feel it in the glass, and I'm waiting for it, and when I put it to my mouth, it is actually rotten milk. It's even worse, right? Because that wouldn't taste good anyway. But I was expecting one thing, and I received another thing. The verse goes on, it continues, right, in these two verses here. It makes a mention that we are the body of Christ. When we partake in communion, it's a reminder that we are part of something larger. There's this thing, you know, a lot of people say, man, like, where is Christ? He died for us, and then he left, and I haven't seen him since. But think about it. Christ is here. His body is here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We are the body of Christ. So there are people outside these walls, maybe even inside these walls, but we'll just say outside these walls who need a Savior, right? Who need to have a relationship with Jesus, who need to meet this man who saved them from certain death. They need him. But they're looking around, and then maybe, let's say they pick up a Bible and they read that the church is the body of Christ. So in their mind, they expect one thing, because they've read the gospel. They say, wow, Jesus is awesome. I can't wait to meet his people. I can't wait to meet his representatives here on earth. And they're expecting one thing, and they get something else. They're expecting something beautiful, and they get something corrupt. And, you know, we're sinners. We are not Christ. However, when we partake, we remind ourselves of the important things in life. We have a responsibility as the body to represent Christ here on earth. Other verse in the Bible talks about that we are ambassadors for Christ. Think about what an ambassador does. An ambassador is the representation, let's say the U.S. ambassador over in Russia. Sure. They represent us to a whole other country. Now, guess what? A really, really bad ambassador, guess what they can do? They can start wars. They can start strife. Right? All of that stuff because of their attitude, how they handle themselves. Why? Because when you're speaking to the ambassador, it's almost like you're speaking to the whole country. They speak for you. Wouldn't you want? Wouldn't you want an ambassador who actually speaks to your values? I'm not trying to make any kind of political thing. I don't even know who the ambassador to Russia is. I'll be honest with you. I'm not trying to make a political thing. I'm just saying, wouldn't you want that ambassador to speak for you well? Christ has left his body here, you and me, as ambassadors. When we partake of the bread, when we partake of the juice, we participate with him. And there comes a responsibility to that. There's a song by a band named Casting Crowns. Really, start to think about it. It didn't feel like an old song, but I looked it up. I was like, oh, I'm getting old. Some of you also just had a visceral reaction to that. Every time I get up here, I say, I'm getting old. Someone gets upset. But the lyrics of this song, they say this. It says, if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? Jesus paid much too high a price for us to pick and choose who should come. We are the body of Christ. People say, where is Jesus now? Where is he? We are his ambassadors. How we represent ourselves to the world is how people will see Jesus. So here's the thing. This verse in context talks about idolatry. How do we flee from idolatry, right? The church perhaps, and I'm speaking general, the church perhaps can fall into traps, right? Idolatry of maybe making compromises to be a church that like anybody can come to and just like, yeah, like we're cool. The idolatry of trying to be relevant. Or you can do the flip side and the idolatry of trying to be so rigid and so it's just us that no one's allowed. The idolatry of money, perhaps, right? We want a bigger building. We want a bigger parking lot. We want a bigger whatever, right? Maybe it's the idolatry of production, right? Our church has $1 million worth of stuff on the stage, and like everything's down to the second, and we worship that, right? How do we flee from idolatry? By remembering who it is that we serve. By remembering who it is that we represent. Did Jesus need $1 million up on the stage or the platform to get his point across? Absolutely not. Was Jesus professional? Absolutely, right? Did Jesus need a bunch of money? No. Did Jesus, was he a person that sinners, outcasts, could come to and feel comfortable? Absolutely. Did Jesus waver on his beliefs, on what he taught? Absolutely not. By remembering who we serve, by remembering what he died for, we represent Christ well. And so, today, right, if we are the body, think about this as we take this, right? As we take the emblems, as we eat, as we drink, as we do these things, remember in the back of your mind, well, if we are the body, where are we reaching out? If we are the body, are my words speaking truth? Are my words speaking love the way Jesus would love? If we are the body, am I going? Are my feet carrying me the way Jesus walked and carried himself to different parts and to different places and different people? If we are the body, someday might I be persecuted? Well, Jesus was. If we are the body today, right? You have a body, I have a body. We can mistreat our own bodies. You understand what I'm saying? If we are the body, how am I treating the people next to me in this pew, right? How am I treating people across the street from me? If we are the body, am I like Christ or not? So today, right? Today, we're going to do this. We're going to partake. We're going to do something that Jesus did, right? Jesus sought the lowest position, right? When he washed the feet of his disciples, that was a job reserved for servants, right? Well, as we do this today, think, if I'm part of the body, how can I serve someone else today, right? Communion is a great time. I think actually last time we did communion, this is what we talked about, but communion is a great time. Over the last 3 or so months since we did it from the last time, a lot can happen in 3 months. In fact, I know this church specifically had a really hard 3 months. I did. These last 3 months have been tough. This is a time where we can each seek the lowest position among each other to serve somebody else. Maybe in frustration, you snapped at somebody, right? Maybe you said some words that weren't so kind, right? Or maybe you just haven't spoken in a while and you don't really know why. Seek the position of servanthood this morning. Seek the position of servanthood this morning and find someone. It could be your spouse. It could be your brother. It could be your sister. It could be somebody else here at church. Yeah, there you go. The slide is up there. Find your room. Find your person. And remember, if I am part of the body and so are they, I need to treat the body well. And then when you go from here, as you go back out into the workforce, right? Your job, your maybe even your family members who maybe aren't believers, remember that if you are the body, you represent Christ, so act like him. Let's pray. Our most kind of Heavenly Father, God, thank you. Thank you for choosing us. You could have chosen anyone else. You could have sent all the angels to do the work, to represent you. But God, you chose us. Maybe it was because of the relatability, brother to brother, sister to sister. But God, please forgive us for the times that we did not represent you well. God, forgive me for the times that as an ambassador for your kingdom, I have fallen short. God, as the body of Christ, Lord, may we act like Jesus. May our arms reach out and embrace. May our feet go. May our hearts love. May our words bring peace. And God, today, as we go through the ordinance of humility, as we seek the lowest position among ourselves today, God, may you mend broken hearts. May you mend broken relationships. God, may today be the day as we dwell on what it is that you did for us. May today be the day that chains break. May today be the days that walls fall down, that we leave this church today free. I pray in your name, amen.